of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Gaston's Interior Design. We use antlers in all of our decorations.
To all who have come to the podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or go to obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Steve, are you scared of the dark?
Oh, I'm very scared of the dark, actually.
You're scared of the dark?
No, that's not true. I actually like it dark.
Yeah. So I have a problem with driving at night.
Yeah.
Because I have this hereditary night blindness nonsense that, like, anytime someone's, like, lights flash in my eyes, I go temporarily blind.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big fan of driving.
Yeah.
In the dark. But I am a big fan of the park after dark.
Ooh, all the Disney parks?
All the Disney parks after darks.
Talk about a magical moment.
Right?
Like, if you think they look good in the daytime, wait till it gets dark.
I think they actually make an event of it at Disney's California Adventure for Cars Land when all the neon comes on.
Oh, yeah?
I think if you're standing there at a certain time, they have a sort of...
Kind of like a countdown song type of a thing?
It might be something... It may not be like... choreographed, but everyone knows that the lights go on around this time, so it's fun to stand on the road as all those lights come on.
Oh, that would be cool.
It's fun.
Yeah, Cars Land looks incredible at night with all the lights up and down there.
Yeah,
I think it looks great.
I think this is a perfect opportunity to talk about the parks after dark.
Absolutely.
And the things that we like to do, obviously at this point we have the most experience with doing the California parks after dark, but I assume a lot of these things would be similar for
all the parks,
Florida or wherever else you want to go.
Yeah, and what's great about fall time is that it starts getting dark at like 6 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of after dark moments,
right? And honestly, one of the best things about that specifically is that psychologically a lot of people feel like it's time to leave when it gets dark,
right?
So a lot of things empty out. At least I know in California, they empty out quite a bit.
Yeah.
Towards the later hours of the park being open.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to try to get on to maybe some of those difficult Fantasyland rides. Like,
I would love to find out if that's actually true. I know that, like,
Peter Pan, it's never a good time to get on Peter Pan.
You know, that's ever. What I was going to ask about.
Yeah. But what I mean is, like, you have fewer very small children.
Oh, yeah.
During that time period. So I don't feel as guilty standing in line in front of a family with like three kids under 10.
Yeah.
You know,
they've already probably packed up for the night.
Because they've gone and left after it gets dark a little bit, you know. So I just feel like, especially if you wait till after the first fireworks show,
mm-hmm.
then everyone just leaves
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not a fan of watching the night shows, that's a good time to get on rides too. When everyone else is crowded around the castle, you can kind of go and get on things a little easier too.
Who's not a fan of the night shows? That's the best part of going to the park.
Is it? Is that your favorite part?
Oh, well, because of World of Color.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then Fantasmic. Like, mm-hmm. that makes it amazing. And then the Waters of America. No, what's it called?
Rivers of America?
Sure. And then they all are getting the nighttime shows, right? Because that wasn't really a thing when the parks first opened.
Right.
And they were struggling with that as a lot, is mm-hmm. just trying to get people to stay there as later in the days.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt they got a good value and, you know, get your extra monies
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing. So they spent a lot of money trying to get you to stay there later in the night. You know?
That makes sense.
Um,
I did hear, though, that they did, like, date night at Disneyland, which would start, I think it was in the 50s or the 60s.
We'll go with 60s.
The 60s?
Mm-hmm. Let's go with that.
Date night at Disneyland, they would actually close down the park, and then they would have, like, a live band and dance floors and things like that in the park.
Oh, that's fun.
For couples to come and have a date night at Disneyland.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like the Mad Tea Party when they had that going on over at California
Adventure. Oh, that was fun. I forgot about that.
It was super fun.
Yeah, that was a great time. EDM music playing right in front of Sully.
There you go.
What more do you need out of life?
Well, to be honest, though, I think preparing for the evening starts really early in your day at Disney.
Oh, you have to. You have to make it part of your plan.
I'm not sure how it works in Florida. We'll have to figure this out when we go. But at Disneyland, if you want to see Fantasmic, you have to get your fast passes the second you walk into the park in the morning.
Yeah, and if you're not one of the rope drop people, you might not get tickets for Fantasmic.
Exactly. If it's a busy day, if you're not there at rope drop, you might not get fast passes.
Yeah.
Which is stressful.
And World of Color is a similar way. I mean, if you're there after 11 or 12 o'clock, a lot of times the passes have been all taken for the day for that.
And that's even if there's two shows.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't, I mean, they do two shows on the busier days. So,
thank goodness.
Like we said, if there are people coming in with 13 people and they will swipe their passes and get their passes right away, you know, and you're just losing...
Yeah, we've done it.
Space. Have we done 13 people?
We have gone with friends, and there was another group of them, and it was a very stressful period because there was one pass that was missing, and then we had to go to a cast member, and she ran all of them and said, it's already been there, and it was a whole situation. I became that person that we hate so much.
Were you a hateful person?
I was one of the people because there was one of the tickets that was missing, and she thought, apparently I swiped them all, but one of them didn't print properly, so it never came out of the machine. And so she said, it's already here. And I'm like, I promise you, it's like right here. There's no reason it. So she had to print out like a special single pass for that person to get into the show that night.
Oh.
And it was very stressful because they weren't even part of our group. So,
but you were pleasant about it. You weren't like, this is outrage. No. I paid a lot of money.
No, of course. I was absolutely nice about it, but I just always hate that when there's that long of line, you know, there's a huge line of people and I'm occupying a cast member right there in front of one of the four machines.
Right.
You know, helping thousands of people get tickets kind of a thing.
Okay.
So that's what I meant by I was that person.
I don't mind people that need help. I do mind people that cop an attitude about needing help.
Oh no, I was very nice about it.
So no, yeah, I don't mind that at all. But that's what I mean. Like you start out your day knowing that you're going to those shows and you have to prep for those.
Right. And it took over an hour to get tickets for the nighttime show.
Yeah.
Like the whole first hour of the day was blown by just getting tickets for the night.
At least it was California Adventure, and you can rip through California Adventure pretty quick.
True.
If you're using your Max Pass and stuff like that, you can move pretty quick through there.
Yeah, that is a good point.
But I like the idea of the fast passes for things like that.
Yeah.
But it turns into, there's this weird thing about people in crowds where you show up excessively early because you want to be the first one into whatever it is. So they start making lines way before anything happens at night.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then they're all jostling for position. And like, it gets a little cutthroat in there with the strollers and the big families all trying to get spots. They let you into whatever viewing area you're supposed to be in, and people are running. People are trying to set up their space or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you sit.
Yeah.
You literally sit for almost 2 hours for some of these people. Your kid is going to fall asleep in that time period. Then you're going to have to wake them up to watch whatever it is that you're doing. And then they are the first people to try to trample people to get out of there.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you can't be first in, first out in a situation like this.
Yeah.
You know, there's thousands of people here.
Yeah, you almost have to be first in, last out, because now you're behind everybody that's leaving behind you.
I try to be patient with it, but I do have an issue with crowds.
So what do you think is better? Is it better to not have, like, the fireworks shows don't have fast passes. You just show up and find your spot in front of the castle.
Right.
Or you then have the shows that have fast passes. Which do you like better? You like the not having passes and just showing up for the
fireworks? No, I do like the having fast pass situation for the sheer reason that it limits the number of people that you're trying to deal with. Right.
Yeah.
So once you have all the fast passes out, you know that that's all the number of people that are going to get in to watch this show.
Yeah.
And you and I especially are pretty low maintenance when it comes to those things.
Uh-huh.
We don't need to be dead center front to enjoy the show.
We've never been dead center front.
Well, because the Disney family people are scary.
Yes.
You know, they'll kill you.
It's true.
They'll shank you right there to get your spot.
Yeah, I've
they'll use their brand new, you know, Mickey toothbrush sharpened to a point and stab you to get your standing spot.
Literally, I've had 4-year-olds push me off a fence before to get my spot.
Oh, geez, I forgot about that.
And I felt bad, so I let him take the spot. Bad mistake.
Yeah, and then he talked to me the whole time. I was like, who is this kid? He touched you with his
sticky hands and everything.
Oh, he had sticky hands. Oh, yeah. It was terrible. And this is the thing, is like, I understand that Disney's for kids. I totally get it.
Oh, it's the best for kids.
But at the same time, I don't want to babysit your kid.
That was the awkward part of that one.
Yeah. And also, I've seen other people complain about this. When you go to watch a show and they put their kids up on their shoulders,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, great, now I have a perfect view of your kid's butt for mm-hmm. the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Or their balloon bouncing off my face.
Especially if it is one of the parks where you're looking down to see the... And then you're looking down onto the person in front of you. I guess either way. The fireworks show, I guess it's not as good. Because we've even had balloons and stuff get in front of us and completely ruin a show there, too. You can't see any fireworks over the balloons in front of us.
So just a little crowd etiquette would be nice, you know.
A little bit.
And I agree that I want kids to be able to see the show.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% want them to have the magic experience of watching the fireworks or Fantasmic. But that also means that you as a parent should probably plan mm-hmm. on that. You know, say, you know, we may not be able to be front and center for you to see everything, but you will see everything. If you want to be right up against the fence for Fantasmic at Disneyland, you may have to go a little away from center so that your kid is right up front, you know, so they can see. Because I want to see the show too. I didn't wait an hour to watch the show so I could watch the back of your kid's head, you know. So lots of
how great are shows. Like Tomorrowland as well after dark. Like how great does that look?
I think the entire park becomes just slightly more magical in every sense after dark. You go into Adventureland, it's all lit by torch, you know, or guttering lights, you know. There it feels like a jungle when you walk through Adventureland. You go over to Pirates, it's got the sconces on the front. You know, you go to Tomorrowland, it's got the futuristic lighting and the ground lights, and you know, I think that's everything true. Is just plussed it's by true. The fact that it has show lighting basically after dark.
Yeah.
And they get to do exactly what they want to do with lights.
So we'll have to do that 24-hour challenge, but not do the first half. Like, we'll just basically show up at sunset and then leave at, like, sunrise.
There you go.
So ours will be more of, like, a 12-hour challenge overnight.
They only do that on leap years, though, right?
Is that true?
Yeah, they call it taking the leap, and on that extra day, they do
that is a 24-hour
thing in the parks.
How awesome is that? That sounds like
way
so
to go,
much
Disney!
I totally want to do that.
But speaking of things being more interesting, I think some of the rides are more fun once it gets dark, too.
Oh yeah.
Like, specifically, I think the Jungle Cruise is very impressive at night.
You do like the After Dark version of that?
Do you not?
Oh, no, you know I do.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I think it's so much cooler at night.
Like, in the daylight, it's kind of kitschy.
Yeah.
You know, the animatronics aren't state-of-the-art, so it's kind of just, oh, look at the hippos kind of thing or whatever, you know? For some reason, in the dark, everything just looks 60% more real.
Uh-huh.
And then they hit it with a spotlight, and you're like, oh, geez, even though I know it's there.
You know?
When the piranhas,
and you know the piranhas are not really going to bite you?
The piranhas jumping out of the water scares me in the dark, even though they don't scare me during the daytime. Like I said, it's the show lighting that kind of pushes that one a little bit further for me.
Yeah, that is what's nice about Pirates of the Caribbean, is that it always looks dark in there.
It always has show lighting.
Yeah,
which
so
is
if they
so
could just
fun.
Put the Jungle Cruise indoor, it would then be Pirates. So
it would be a Pirates adjacent. Yeah, but I also think Thunder Mountain is fun to ride at night.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Because even though they don't light everything on Thunder Mountain at night,
yeah,
some things you don't see very much at night. But honestly, you're moving so fast during the daytime, you sometimes don't see things mm-hmm. anyway. But the effects, like specifically at Disneyland, when they have the explosions on that last lift hill,
yeah,
it's way more impressive at night for some reason, you know?
Right. Well, the problem I have with that ride always is that it's, for some reason, so bright and then so dark.
Yeah.
And my eyes are extremely sensitive, so I'm actually taking my sunglasses on and off throughout the ride. Mm-hmm. I know most people can survive a whole ride without sunglasses on, without it killing them, but for me, like, we'll come out of a dark thing and then the sun will be right in my face and I'll literally be like, oh, I can't see anything anymore.
Well, you're lucky that all you have to do is take on and off a pair of sunglasses. I got my regular glasses and then my sunglasses, so if I want to do that, I'd be, you know, switching about throughout back the ride and forth. I'd lose my glasses for sure.
Oh, absolutely. You would. Yeah, that's true.
And then, I mean, during Halloween time, they put up even more lights,
yeah,
to kind of add to the ambiance. Like, Haunted Mansion looks amazing at night during Halloween time.
Yeah.
With all the candles and things like that.
For the rest of the year, actually.
For the rest of the year, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's... The lighting is worth staying in the park alone, yeah, I would say.
I think so, too. I think Disney would agree. I think that they're very proud of themselves for getting to that point.
And do you remember we heard that rumor that they never let a light burn out on Main Street?
Mm-hmm.
What would you call this? Like some Disney magic rumor.
We came up with a phrase. It was lies and rumors or something. Rumors and lies.
Disney rumors and lies.
Because almost everything is a rumor and a lie at the same time.
Well, because Disney is such a phenomenal company and it goes for the heightened experience all the time that people almost like make a mythology for Disney, you know, and they have these wild ideas about how the Disney company does something.
Yeah.
And specifically the one we're talking about is when they're like, there isn't ever a light out on Main Street. They switch out the bulbs when they're at 75%. And I'm like, what? How is that even, what are you talking about?
I don't know how that would be possible.
It's not.
Yeah.
Like you can't guarantee the life of a light bulb.
Nope.
In any way, shape, or form.
Especially because they don't use LED lights. They use the old-fashioned incandescent that burn it. Yeah, that you can't.
And I have to say, I do appreciate that they still use those. It has a different look.
It surely does.
And a different feeling, almost. Like, for some reason, I love the buzz of the electricity when you walk.
Uh-huh.
It's hardly ever quiet on Main Street. But if it's ever quiet on Main Street and you walk past some of those lights, you can hear the electricity buzz. I don't know what it is about it. It's just so Americana kind of thing, I guess.
But we have seen quite a few burned out light bulbs.
I think we counted one time, didn't we?
Yeah, we did it after we saw the YouTuber that did it, right? Justin Scared, right? He was doing it.
Oh, that's right. He's like, and there's a burned out bulb. And there's a burned out
really
bulb.
High. He got to like 86, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, out of 14 million, I guess 86 is a pretty low number.
Right. I think we just
kind of hard to spot.
We broke it down into areas and we said, okay, if we just say in this area there's X number of bulbs out and then multiply it by the size of Main Street, you'd probably run across
hundreds
of bulbs that are out.
Potentially. True.
And you know, it's not that it makes Disney any less magical or that Main Street is any less bright because of it,
right?
But it's so funny to me when people are like, oh, did you know that Disney never lets a light burn out, you know? It's like, that's not possible. Like, with the number of people in the park at any given time, there's no way,
We were going to call that Disney News Rumors and Lies.
Yeah.
Was going to be the segment because...
But there is one light that they don't let go out, and that's Walt's light in the firehouse.
Oh.
So if you didn't know, Walt had an apartment built for himself above the firehouse on Main Street.
Is that where his head is frozen at?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's
okay. I know exactly
what you're sitting on the kitchen table up there. Walt, it's what's for dinner.
That's awful.
Frozen awful. Walt meals.
Awful.
Oh, we should totally do a shirt about frozen Disney meals and have a Walt head. Would that be in poor taste?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, poor taste.
Never mind. No Walt head meals. But
perfect for Halloween.
But he had an apartment up there, and whenever he was in the park, he would have the lamp on that was in the window overlooking Main Street.
Yeah.
And so when he passed away, they decided that they would always have that light on. So it's nearly impossible to find a time where they don't have a light on in the firehouse window.
I challenge anybody. I'd love to see.
Yeah, take a picture if you ever come across it when it's not on.
That would be the new version of like Disney paparazzi photos. You could sell it for millions.
Oh,
if that were the case.
Yeah, I don't know if millions, but I think it would definitely be.
I think Disney would pay millions to not have that photo released. Actually, if you saw it without the light,
they like the fact that people think that they never have a light bulb out on Main Street.
Well, especially Walt's
light.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say that's fair.
Yeah,
but I think a lot of people that go with kids maybe miss out on some of the quieter nighttime moments where you can sit and enjoy the lights.
Right.
So, you know, maybe if your kid's already asleep, maybe you wait a minute after the fireworks show and let everyone else clear out. And then you can kind of enjoy walking out a little bit more, too.
Depending on the day, yeah.
I don't mind hanging back a little bit and letting the crazy people trample each other on their way out. And then you can kind of stroll casually out of the park after them.
Depending on the day, we've had magical moments walking out of the park, and then we've had other times where we're shuffled through the back service alleys kind of a thing.
Because it's so crowded.
Because it's so crowded, and there is nothing magical about that experience, other than it's really fun.
It is cool to see the backstage stuff, but also the song they play on your way out.
Yeah. That Leon Rimes
one. The Leon Rimes, whatever her name is. The Leon Rimes. Good grief. English.
Seriously, between that and your southern drawl now.
I know. I'm picking it back up, y'all. It's one of those songs that for some reason, after a magical Disney evening, as you're leaving, it seems to just strike a chord with everybody.
Oh, it totally does.
Walking out of that park.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever gotten actually like welled up about it, but it's definitely one of those heartwarming kind of moments,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Would you say that?
Oh, absolutely. I've had to fight back a tear a time or two.
Aw, you big softy. Right?
Seriously. We didn't even get a chance to talk about Fantasmic.
Well, good news. Maybe next podcast we will go more into depth about Fantasmic at Disneyland specifically, because that's the one we've seen the most, and maybe we'll poke some holes in Florida too. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.